Okay. We're getting audio. Everything's good. It's green. Amen. Man, it's like, I did not realize how many kids, like, I mean, it's all good. I mean, it doesn't matter. But to me, I'll preach if it's just Dan here. I don't care. So I thank you guys. I thank all of you guys for your prayers. This week was insanely difficult and rough, battling the flu and getting to this point today. I thank my brother for offering to cover. But if I didn't preach this word, I would have given in to the message that I was preaching. So, and if any of you have ever had a word of God that, you know, he gives you something and it's timely, usually it's to push through those things and to persevere through those things. So, and when you're in this position, you get these wonderful things where God's going to give you the word and he's going to give you the notes and he's going to give you all the stuff and he's going to give you that nugget and you're going to get the revelation from it and then you get to go through it first. So this was me getting to go through it first. Now that's not me wishing any sickness over anybody at all, but, the sickness just happened to be a byproduct of my going through this message. So, just ask everybody to bow your heads with me. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your word, God. We thank you that it does not return void, Father. We thank you, God, for the preparation of your saints today, God, and coming and being prepared, ready to hear what it is that you have to say to them, Father God. Lord, we just lift your word up today, God. May it find fertile soil in our hearts, Father. And may it do that which it set out to do, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the title of this message today is a two-parter. It's called Possession to Dominion. And hopefully you guys are getting the theme. But where Dan has led off with dealing with our past and everything like that. What we're going to deal with today is actually dealing with a very much real concept of possessing land. Now, that does not mean possessing land like, okay, go over your neighbor's house and put a flag in his bedroom and say, this is my land. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. You know, my sister was here. She'd be making the flag comment, but she's not here right now. That's okay. I was hopeful she would be here, but she's not. So what we're going to deal with is that idea of really where we get to this point of dominion, because dominion is something very, very important when it comes to the kingdom of God. And we as believers, okay, have a responsibility to enact dominion. Does that make sense? Okay? You have a responsibility to enact dominion. And dominion, and she's here now so she can make her flag comment. Dominion does not mean you walk in and just put a flag down and go, this is my land. There it is. See? She's here now. She can make the comment. All right. So what do I mean? Well, here's what I mean. Okay? We are always in a battle. Did you know this? You are always in a battle. Okay? That battle could be for many things. It could be just for daily victory against sin. Which if you're a guy, we went through that one teaching in Band of Brothers. You know, daily victories. Right? Okay? They're a battle for your family, for lives that are born and unborn. Right? Okay? Even battles against your mind and the thoughts that are in your head. Right? How many times? We were just talking about that comedian yesterday. He's like, that bad word that in the back of my head. I didn't say the bad word, but it was there. Right? That thought. That was a battle that he was describing. Right? As believers in Christ, we can pull out our Bible and we can go, oh, the sword of the Spirit. Smack. And fight. Right? We could do that. You can go ahead and dress yourself in all that fancy armor. Believe me, I am a lover of the book of Ephesians. And that especially is one of my favorite parts in the book of Ephesians about the study of the armor of God, right? But there's one thing that's missing in that entire outline of preparing for battle and fighting. And that's, where are you located? Did you ever wonder that you could be ready to fight a battle but be on the wrong battlefield? Listening to the wrong commanding officer. Does that ever occur to you? Because that's actually what goes on today. We are always constantly ready for a fight because we believe that, okay, I have Jesus, and because I accepted Jesus into my heart, and yeah, we've been here and we've learned all these great things, and I know that there's a battle for my life, and so I'm always on guard and I gotta keep my head on a swivel and do all these things. But did you ever wonder the reason why you constantly keep getting smacked in the face with attacks is because you're actually not where you're supposed to be? Because you're out of position. See, that's actually one of the major reasons why we have the problems that we have and that we continue to fight the same fights over and over and over again in our lives. See, what I've learned through this message that God gave me first was that the reason why I got sick was because I was out of position. It wasn't because I was in sin, or it wasn't because I was unfaithful, or it wasn't because of any of those things. It was just because I was out of position. I wasn't where I was supposed to be. That's it. One little move, and everything got set off in a different direction. See, we gotta remember who our enemy is, and we gotta remember that although we can say he was defeated on the cross, and although we can say the battle's been won, and although we can say that the power of Christ has done all these things, and he's been defeated in Jesus' name, right? We can say those things, and we can believe those things, and we can have the power and authority to back those words up, right? But that doesn't mean that he's still not a conniver, a liar, a cheater, and he wants you down. That doesn't change his plan. His plan doesn't stop because you say he's defeated. That doesn't change his active role. He's still going to lie. He's still going to cheat. He's still going to try to distract you and get you off your game. Because if he can do so and get you playing on the wrong battlefield, guess what you are not doing? You are no longer effective for the kingdom of God. He doesn't have to knock you down. He does not have to take you out. He just needs to get you away from where you're supposed to be. And sometimes that's the easiest battle for him to win. So that's usually his first attack. His first wave or his first volley is, can I get you off your position? Can I get you off your mark? Because if I can do that, I don't even have to touch you. Because you're duped, you're fooled, and you're listening to wrong commands, you're listening to the wrong commanding officer, and you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, and lo and behold, you're no longer effective. Now, hopefully, none of us are in that position, right? We're all good. We're right where we're supposed to be. All right. Well, then this means this is going to be a good message. All right, Ken, roll that beautiful bean footage. Our first scripture is going to be Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy 11, verses 8 through 12. Now, I prepare you guys. There's a lot of scriptures here, but we're going to take them a little bit by little bit. All right. So in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8 says, therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess. We'll stop right there. Because this part right here is paramount. What we're dealing with is we always come as believers in God with a bunch of promises, right? We got promises. Here's our first promise. What have we been promised? We've been promised to go and possess the land which has already been given to us, right? That's a great position of power, is it not? We know if you go back and read further and you look into this, right? They're crossing the River Jordan and they're going to go and possess the land, the promised land that was given to them, okay? That's flowing with milk and honey. Now, all that's good, but there's so much more to it because it's not just, oh, it's just empty. It's just there. No, there's still battle to be fought. There's still other people occupying that land, but he's providing faith and motivating them to know that it doesn't matter what you see when you get there. Don't worry. It's already yours in Jesus' name, right? So this is all good and done, but there's an important part that we must rely on, and that is we need to do what? Prior to all of this, we have to do what? We have to keep the commandments. Now, we know that this was, you know, back with the law of 10 commandments, but we know that Jesus took the 10 and he condensed it into 2, which is what, Tony? Bingo. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Your 2 commandments. That encompasses all of the ten. So that is our new commandment. So we can still carry this scripture and go, you need to keep those two so that you will be what? Strong. Why is strength important if we only have to go and possess that what's already been given to you? Did anybody ever think of that? Why do you need to be strong to just have something that's freely given to you? I don't know if it needs strength for me to give you this phone. Do you need strength to take the phone that I'm giving to you? No. Right? So why is this important? You're jumping ahead, but I like where you're going. See, the point of that is that where we're going, which isn't going to be today, but we will be going there next Sunday, but is dealing with that he is providing you with a full spectrum of what it's going to mean to possess the land. Because you're not just going there to occupy it. If you were just going there to occupy it, you would not need strength. But in order to enact dominion, you will. Does that make sense? Because that's what this is really dealing with. So moving on. And that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. Sounds like a fun place. Okay. And I want to, did you go? You can go to the next one, that's fine. But I want to stop there. In the previous verses, in 2-7, okay, if you read back a little bit, we're also told that this particular aspect of what's being shared here is not for children. It's for all of those who have bore witness to the things of God. They've seen the hand of God move. These are people that are testifying to what God has done. That is you and I. Because you have bore witness to the reality of Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life. Amen? So you can testify to what he's done. So therefore, you are listening to this message and you are the only ones that can understand it. This message isn't for those that do not understand those things, because you cannot understand what's being freely given to you and the faith that's needed to possess that if you can't understand that. If you can't understand who died for you, then that's not going to make sense. All right? So the strength that was being talked to about is actually endurance, okay? It's not physical strength, but it's actually strength in which you need to endure, okay? I want to just make sure we understand that. And endurance is the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, all right? That promised land that's flowing with milk and honey, that is the destination. So I want you to understand, although they're getting a physical example of an actual place, a location that they're going to walk into and actually occupy that physical location, we have to take those things, we have to translate them here and today. So I'm not saying now walk out these doors and go walk over to the neighbors and just occupy. Okay? Because God said this is your promised land and you're over there. Okay? And you're just standing there and people are looking at you funny. Because, I mean, you can do that if you want to, but, I mean, you might not like the result. So, moving forward, okay, he puts some things in focus. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden, but the land in which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. So I want to make a clarity statement here. The land that you go to possess is not Party City, where you do nothing but party all day long, because everything is taken care of. It's like Democratville. Everything's paid for. You don't have to worry. There's no anything to worry about. I don't know where the money comes from. It doesn't matter, but it's all covered. You don't have to do anything. Okay? That's not what this means. That's not what he's talking about. Okay? What he's talking about, okay, is that even though this promised land is where you're coming to, it is not going to be what you came out of. Okay? Which is slavery. Which is where you were under another rule or under another control. You're going to a place where you will be still working, but you have a different set of rules to run by. Now you have a different set of things to do. You're not doing things that you don't want to do. You're actually doing things that you will enjoy doing. Okay? And the Lord will care for it, and the Lord will take care of making sure it prospers. So these are things that are important, okay? Not only is it prosperous, but it's also protected, which is a very important thing to understand about this land that we're talking about. I should put air quotes up, because land is figurative. All right. So going and possessing the land that God has given to us is the easiest part of God's much larger plan. Can we all agree? Like I said, I just showed you with the phone. It's pretty easy to just take the phone out of my hands, right? Doesn't require much of you to do. You just take it, right? Of course, being able to leave your ties to the enslaved past that you have behind you and focusing on the promise rather than the latter, right? These are easy things to do, right? Anybody here want to stay in bondage? Enjoy that? That's good? It's fun? No? Okay. So you shouldn't have a problem making the transition. But we should understand that God is not just bringing us to a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and that it's a place that does not require labor so we can party. Rather, this land is actually a strategic location for his much larger plan. And furthermore, you are not independent when you occupy this location. So there's some key points I want you to focus on. Where you are going is a strategic place, and you are not independent. You do not operate as a lone wolf. Does that make sense? Everybody's quiet. Whew. It's kind of eerie in here. Need life. So, all right, Ken. Now we're going to get from that point of possession, and we're going to start figuring out what this part is with dominion through Daniel. And this was really interesting because I wasn't sure when God showed me this in Daniel, what he really wanted to do. But as I pressed in and really dug into what God was saying, it was really, really deep. And there's a lot here, but we're going to try and take it bit by bit. So where we're at in Daniel in chapter 7, verses 11 through 14, is Daniel has a dream about four beasts. Okay. And I want to encourage you really read the whole thing because it's there's a lot in there. We're going to go through pretty much most of it, but I really want to encourage you to read it all because there's a lot in there and the vision of what, you know, the first part of him just elaborating what he saw and then obviously the explanation that comes afterward. But what we're focusing on right here in this is the part where the Son of Man comes into play. And there's a reason for that. So I just want you to kind of understand where we're at in this line of thinking here. So I watched then because the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Okay, this was the fourth beast that he's finalizing and talking about. But as for the rest of the beasts, the other three, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in a night vision and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So this attack, so to speak, what can be visualized or perceived as an attack through these four beasts, okay, that Daniel sees in this vision, there's a lot in there, and they're who they are and what they represent, okay? And I can get into all that with you guys briefly. They're dealing with actual ruling powers. Each of those beasts represents a ruling power. But that fourth beast was more horrendous than the others because out of the fourth comes 10 others, okay? And all of those 10 become even more unscrupulous than the previous. Okay. And on top of that, they have some agenda, and that agenda is directly in opposition to the Son of Man and what he is standing for. Okay. And us. So this is why this is important, because guess what? You could sit here and chalk this off and go, it's just some Old Testament vision, no big deal. Okay, you could. Or you could read in between the lines and recognize that this has every bit to deal with us and what we're doing right now. And what is coming and what you're in currently. Okay? So, what does all this mean? Well, when you read this and you see certain things in here, you recognize right away that what I was telling you about that going in and possessing the land isn't going to just be, I'm here and everything's awesome and, you know, what's that? Everything is awesome. Everything is, you know, yeah, like it's not that, okay? It's really, really not like everything's taken care of and you don't have to do anything. No, there's actually work to be done. But more importantly than that, remember what I said, it was a tactical position. See, we tend to get wrapped up with Jesus as this, you know, peace, love, and no war type of Jesus that, you know, he's kind of like, yeah, man, you know, everything's good. Love you guys. Cool. But that's not who he is. He's riding in on a chariot with a flaming sword. He's a warrior. Okay? He's a warrior. And that is important to understand, because when you understand that he is a warrior, that means that he is about battle. And so if you treat or you look at him in that manner for just a moment, knowing that yes, he loves and he cares and he's got a plan and it is working out and he gains all the glory because he has done everything to make all this happen, that doesn't change the active plan, which is that he is about tactical positions that benefit him. So when he looks at land and what he wants to, again, land, that he wants to occupy and possess and take dominion over, it's for a tactical advantage. He's not wasting your time. He doesn't want you to go take land that just looks pretty because he likes that color flower. That's not in his plan. Okay? Again, not peace, love, and hippie Jesus. Okay? He's actually taking land tactically for a purpose that is bigger than just you and me. So when I mentioned what is land, we're going to get to that in a minute, but I want you to focus on what's going on. You're not going to go and take land and not be met with no adversity. You're going to be met with adversity. Because who rules this land? Who's got the title deed right now? The enemy does. And he doesn't like when you steal from him. Now, he doesn't know that, but we're just taking back what already belongs to us. Okay? He thinks he's got everything under control, but once we show up, the rules change. Everything changes. Because, again, we can say, yes, he's already won the battle. And yes, we can claim the land in Jesus' name. But it doesn't mean you're going to not be met with adversity. All right? So I just want us to clear the air real quick. All right? Also note, these beasts, these rulers, had dominion prior to it being taken away. They already had dominion. That means that they were the preset ruler of that location before they were upset. All right? And I want you to take a look at what dominion means. Dominion in Greek is sultan, which also can translate into sovereignty. Okay? Sovereignty. What is sovereignty? That is the actual supreme power and authority. That is maximum. Maximum. Everybody answers to you. Okay. So how does this all translate? How did all that come together? We know the Son of Man, who was mentioned in Daniel, is who? It's Jesus, right? That's not a hard thing to get to. He refers to himself as the Son of Man. So it's obviously not a big jump, right? He didn't make you have to travel far to figure that one out. All right. I love when scripture's pretty darn clear, where you don't have to pull out like 27 books and, you know, cross-reference. No, Jesus said, I am the Son of Man. Okay, well, that makes it simple now. I don't have to go digging. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Does he have that sovereignty? He does, right? Because at the end of that, it said what? He would receive that dominion, right? So the Son of Man has that dominion that was taken from those rulers, and it was given to him. So now he has all of that dominion, right? He also has glory, and he has a new kingdom. Okay? These are really important, and you should write them down. Okay? This position is governmental. And I thought it was really profound that what Mike was sharing, and then Isaiah 9, when he was born, the government was put on his shoulders, reaffirming that dominion that was given to him. Right when he was born, that dominion was given to him. Okay? That governmental position is equivalent to a king, a lord, a ruler. And then furthermore, that dominion cannot, hear me, cannot be taken away. So let me make something clear, because I want you to understand. The dominion of the previous rulers was taken away, given to Jesus, the Son of Man. But now the possession of that dominion that is in his hands currently cannot be taken away. That is very important to understand. It cannot be taken away. There is no power, no force, nothing that can come and take it away. Nothing can take it away. And now, on top of that, a kingdom, right? A kingdom is now in play. And this kingdom cannot be destroyed. Other kingdoms will fall, but this kingdom will not falter. Will not be destroyed. This kingdom is the land. Who's the kingdom? We are the kingdom. So you are the land. You are the land that your forefathers went in and possessed. You are. You are the land that was given to Jesus to have dominion. I want you to take that in for a minute. That's who is the land. You are the land. The people of all these nations, that's the land. See, why can I say that? Because he doesn't care about the physical planet, because when all said and done, he's going to shoot a three-pointer into a wastebasket with it, because he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. So this is not important. The physical things of this earth are not important. That is not the tactical positioning that Jesus is looking for. He's not looking to take an actual hill. He's not looking to take a hill. You're the hill. You're the light on the hill. All right? So now, let's connect the last dot, which is from here to there. Only through Jesus Christ can we, that possession, have dominion. You cannot have any dominion, period, outside of Jesus Christ, because he is the only person at this present moment and have forevermore that can have dominion, because cannot be taken away from him, right? So you can't have another version of it. It's only one, and he's got it all, and it's through him that you are freely given anything. So you want dominion, you need to go to JC. So let me make another thing clear. Possession is not dominion. The land that was gone in to be possessed, just showing up and taking that land is not dominion. Dominion actually requires power and authority, which can only come from the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. That's it. You cannot do it any other way. As the ruling authority controls the land and all its inhabitants, occupancy or possession without permission is trespassing. So if you are not connected to the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and you're trying to claim dominion, you're actually trespassing. You're trespassing. And trespassers will be shot on premises. All right. Now, the third part of this that I have to also bring in is how do we get to this place? Because we can all sit here and lay claim to Jesus Christ and go, okay, then that means I have dominion now, right? Is it, we can say that? No? Some people are shaking their heads yes, some people no. So how does this next thing happen? Well, I'll explain. As a child of inheritance, you actually become a partaker of his dominion through him. But only through the vein of inheritance. See, as a king, the inheritance of the king is only passed down to his prodigy. The metal worker or the smithy, they don't get that. They're dwelling in his land, but they don't receive dominion. They're occupying. They're a visitor. Right? Technically. They could live there their entire life. Their whole family line, generation by generation by generation by generation, could still be living in the same hut, running the same smithy shop over and over and over again under the king's rule. They're still a welcomed guest to the king. Because at any point in time, the king can turn around and go, you're out. With no reason or recourse. Because it's his land. Dominion. Okay? Remember, occupancy is not dominion. So inheritance is the only way that we can claim that same dominion. It has to be actually given to you as a son or daughter of the king. Is that clear? Yes? So Ephesians, Ken, if you could please. So in Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 14, in him we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be able to praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. There's a lot in just that small passage. But the first part, and can you go back to the first one, please, Ken? Is the word obtained. E-D. Obtained. Past tense. Past tense. You have it already. You have already obtained it. You cannot obtain another copy of it. You don't get multiples of it. You just have it. You already have it. Okay? Past tense. Past tense is important. Not only is it important that we understand that, but what is this that we have obtained? Does anybody know what you actually have obtained in this inheritance? How many people know? You know? What have you obtained? Okay. But more. You know what we've obtained? You go the same thing? You say the same thing? Kingdom? Okay. Do you know that... You want to guess? Go. What have we obtained? Okay, your room in heaven. Go ahead, Nolan. Last one. Obtained it all. What is it all? Okay, that's a good answer. I like that answer better than everybody else's, but it's very vague. So I'm going to give you some clarity. You've obtained all the promises of Israel. Everything that God the Father had promised to Israel, his children, his chosen people, you have. So that means when he sat there and he said, see all that land that I am giving to you, Israel? Guess what? It's mine. That's true. Why? Because I have obtained it already. It's mine. It's all yours too. See, that's what happens when you actually inherit things. See, the inheritance is actually much greater than what's right in front of you. It's everything. You're right. It is all things. It is. It's all things. But more specifically, it's not what's not written. It is everything that was written to the children of God, his chosen people. He's given to you. And now, the coolest part of this all is the actual guarantee. What's a guarantee? What's a guarantee? What's it? It's the actual evidence, okay? It's in like, you know, you purchase something or whatever, you know, and it's got a guarantee seal of something or whatever, that it will never fail. It's guaranteed for life. Anybody bought any of those products that are guaranteed for life and like break in like 2 days? Anybody ever bought one of those? It's guaranteed for life. We'll replace it no matter what happens. And it takes 2 days and it breaks. And you're like, huh? It's guaranteed to work for 2 days. It's all I'll be promised. No, guaranteed, right? That, but if you bought a piece, like, I don't know, a device or something, and it's guaranteed for life, right? And it breaks, what do? You send it back. And what do? They give you a new one. Guarantee means it's backed up with just in case you think, oh, wait, hold on a second. Something's not right. Oh, no. Here. Now it's right. Guarantee is a guarantee that it's a no fail. No failure. That's what guarantee means. No failure. So where does that guarantee come from? Go ahead, Ken. Flip it over. Thank you. The guarantee of our inheritance is the Holy Spirit, right? When Christ knew that he was going to be separating himself from us, from the physical, he gave us a gift. And that gift is his Holy Spirit, right? The promise, right? Of the helper. If we are at a place, and I want to pause here for just a minute. If you're at a place where that guarantee doesn't feel like it's a guarantee, I really would advise you to connect yourself to the Holy Spirit and let him remind you of what that guarantee looks like. Because he will remind you. Because that's what he does. That's actually his active role in all of our lives. His active role in our lives is when things don't look so great, he goes, hi, look over there. I got you. It's good. You're all right. Now, I know you don't want to go there, but don't worry about it. It's cool. I got it. Just go. Guarantee. Always guaranteeing that everything is going to be okay. Doesn't mean it's not going to be tough. Doesn't mean it's not going to be ugly. Doesn't mean that sometimes you're not going to really like it and it's going to hurt a whole heck of a lot. Me and Jesse were talking about being convicted. How many people like being convicted? How many people would rather be punished? Okay then, I like conviction. Conviction's good because the opposite is not good. I prefer to get convicted as a warning sign of, you better watch out. Or else you're going to catch the hand. Okay. I'm good. Thank you, Lord. Conviction's good. It's a good thing. Yet we flip out. We think we're being punished. No, that's actually not punishment. Conviction is just a warning. It's a good thing. Okay? So, why I'm saying this and what the importance and that guarantee is whose responsibility is it to maintain that relationship? It's yours. So I'm pointing that out to go and tie all of this now in. It's like a big threaded needle and we're just doing this. And I'm at the end and I'm just going to go like this and cinch it. It's going to come all together. We have a responsibility to maintain the relationship of the Holy Spirit and our Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, at all times. Because at any point we falter in any one of those three realms, we are susceptible ourselves to being in a position where we're not taking dominion, but rather we are just occupying. We're surrendering our rulership and our inheritance in exchange for a fraud. And you're actually in the wrong position and in the wrong place and at the wrong time. And then you're going to get smacked and knocked off your feet and you're going to wonder how it happened. All lo and behold, a lot of people do this. God, what happened to me? It wasn't his fault. It was your fault. Because you weren't where you were supposed to be, managing the relationships that you need to manage in order to make sure that you are keeping dominion. That's what matters more than anything else. You can dress yourself up in the armor of God and be ready for battle every morning, every day of your life, and never be in the right place, and constantly get knocked over, over and over and over again. No wonder people walk away because they think that it doesn't work. The armor's broken. The sword doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Well, that's a lie. It isn't the sword. It's you. See, if you actually have a visualization of you standing in armor with a sword and a shield and you're dressed and you're all like ready for battle. I'm sorry, I'm the other-handed. Okay? I was actually doing this for all you guys, you right-handers. This is right-handed. Okay, I'm sorry. Left shielded. Whatever. All right, and you're ready for battle, and you're standing there, and you look around, and you notice that you're the only one there. You could be banging your shield, tough guy moment. I'm going to take them all out. Oh, scream, roar. Yeah, okay. And then you look ahead, and you see a mountain of black ready to come and knock you out. Where's your help? Then all that said, you get trounced. They're just stomping on you. And they go, get out of our area. Why are you here? You don't belong here. How many people have ever walked into a place? Restaurant, club, bar, whatever. I'm not saying I'm advocating it, but walked into a place. You could have just been invited, okay? You were invited. And you walk into a place and you go, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. You want to know what that means? Get out! You don't belong there. That's right. You don't. Get out. It's not for you. You don't belong there. And I know people have given me this, oh, well, how are we supposed to get them saved if we're not willing to go in there? Jesus went into the harems and all that stuff, and he preached the gospel to them. He's Jesus. Let him do it. But if you go in there and you go, I'm not comfortable here, get out. Because they're going to stomp on you. They don't like you. They don't like you in their place. And you stand out like a sore thumb because you come in there with your white knight shining armor. They know who you are. You don't need to even open your mouth. They already tell. They can tell right by looking at you. There's a little bright beam of light centralized over you going, oh! You don't blend in. Good. That's a good thing. You shouldn't. But also, don't put yourself in the enemy's warehouse wondering why you're getting your head pummeled in going, I don't know why I feel this way. Think. I feel like the Hello McFly moment. You remember that? Hello McFly. We cannot go into any place that is not ours, okay, unless we're completely in Him. And I mean that when He is going before you and you are going in behind Him, you're good. You're good. Like I said, if you're in there banging on your shield by yourself and you look behind you and all your friends that you thought were going in with you are looking at the door going, watching what happens, you just got punked. Because that's not where you're supposed to be. But if Jesus walks in the door first and goes, and everybody hits the floor, you're all right. Because that's where you're supposed to be. Because that's dominion. Because He is the only one who has it. So when He goes before you and goes, this is mine, you can be here, then it's okay to be there. Okay? If you're outside of the walls, going back to that kingdom, okay, on a hill, if you're on the outside of that kingdom, gnashing your teeth. Even though you're a child of promise, even though you're a receiver of an inheritance and you find yourself on the outside of the wall, it's not because you were put there by an outside force. It's because you put yourself there. So I want to make it very clear. All this comes together with a clear notation of when things are going okay in your life, God gets all the glory. When things are not going all right in your life, it's not because God is a mean God. It's not because He's not faithful, and it's not because He doesn't deserve the glory. It's because you're not where you're supposed to be. It's because you're out of place. You are out of position. And in order to actually enact dominion, it requires us to be in position. We can't do it any other way. You can't get it another way. You cannot have it any other way. Because the only one who has dominion is Him. Right? Amen? Possessing the land that was promised to us is actually just the beginning. That's the easy part. Remember, here, take. Real simple. Dominion is the goal. So I want you to remember that. It's the goal. That's the overall goal. Have dominion, right? Occupy. Take over. Have dominion. Rule as kings and daughters of the Most High God, right? Because if we don't get to this point where we actually have dominion in the land, which is in your life, if you don't have dominion in your life, what will happen next is the challenges that you will face claiming yourself. Okay? Remember who owns this world. And remember that once you were plucked out of it and you were given back to the Father, He didn't like that much. He didn't like you being taken out of His kingdom and given back to the Father. It doesn't matter who did it. He doesn't go, oh, you were the person who was plucked out by Sean. I'm going to pick on you, Sean. I'm going to go get Sean because he pulled you out of my kingdom. No, he's like, I'm going to get him and you because if I can do anything, I want both of you back because I don't really care who plucked who out of where. I just want you back in my kingdom where you're not effective for his kingdom. It's like a game of chess almost. So if we understand that and we know that he's not going to play nice, stop that. In order to be able to battle against the principality and powers of spiritual wickedness in high places, our enemy, okay? In order to battle against him, we have to stay under the protections of the king. We have to stay in the position and in the place that he's telling us to be, where we're in the kingdom and we're in his place. We're under his walls of protection, okay? By residing in his kingdom and fighting from the position of power, not in a foreign land and from a position of weakness, is how we can actually win. And winning, and I'm not just going in winning like a battle or winning against, you know, an enemy attack. But I'm talking about the big picture win. The win that we know we already have in Jesus' name, right? That same win that we know we have because it was given to us through Christ, that same victory that we proclaim in Jesus' name when one of us gets sick, guess what? The only way you have that victory is if you're in the position that you're supposed to be. It's paramount. Our position matters. And where we're going, and this is continuing on next week, next time we really get down to, now it's coming out of just being in the right position to actually working out that dominion, like Irene said, because after this, now we've established, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be and now I know where I'm at, okay? What are you actually fighting against and where are those attacks coming from? Because to sit there and go, like I said, we just go in and occupy and it's Party City and we have a great time and it's a hoopla. No, there's actually going to be resistance all the time. And there's going to be attacks coming against you, against that wall every single time. I always envision it's kind of like the Lord of the Rings, that scene where they're like coming up the wall with the ladders and, you know, and Legolas is up there just picking them off, you know. That's what it's going to be. Yeah, they had good position. They had the corner ground. They were at a position of defensive power. Didn't mean that the enemy wasn't going to come load after load after load after load to try and take it down. It doesn't stop the enemy from attacking you. But what we have to do next is learn how to stay put in midst of the attacks. Because it's real easy to want to retreat. It's real easy to want to run away. It's real easy to escape away. Because that's an open door. And it's real easy to get to. But that's not what our King demands of us. Amen? Amen. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for all that are here today, Father. We thank you, God, for your word, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would just continue to minister to us, Father God, as we continue out our day, Father. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to work in our lives, God, to establish those areas, God, showing us those things that we may not be paying attention to, God, we may not recognize, but we're out of position. We're just not where you're wanting us to be, God. You're calling us out, Father God. You're telling us where to get in line. You're telling us where to be, Father. So just remind us, God. Remind us where those areas are in our life, God, where we need to hold that position of dominion, God. We need to take with that dominion that you've given over to us, God, through Jesus Christ, Lord, and lay claim to those areas in our lives, Father God, so that we can hold that ground when hard times come, Father. So we ask, Lord, that you just continue to give us grace and mercy to get through these things, Father God. We ask you to just continue to keep that hedge of protection around us, God. And Lord, we thank you, God, that through all this, in the end, you reign on high and you have the final victory, God. And we thank you, Lord, that because of the cross, it's all done. It's all been done in Jesus' name. We just have to walk it out. In Jesus' name, all God's people said. Amen. Amen.